I've been pastoring now nearly 25 years. And I see a culture that has gone so crazy. I see things that I thought I'd never see, but I guess one of our biggest problems at Liberty Baptist Church is not the culture, it's us. It's who we are, what we are. And this morning, as God began to deal with me this week in this message, I told Brother David, I just want one song this morning. If there's ever been time that America needs preaching, and that I need. Can I just be real honest? And this is what some of you has forgot. The reason you come to Liberty Baptist to start with, because there wasn't no punches pulled. I purposed in my heart, and I won't say this as your preacher. I purposed that if I can't run this church, then I'm going to be sure that you're not. Amen. I've got to follow the Lord. It's not my opinions and my agenda. It's who the Lord wants to sing, who He wants to preach, when He wants us to quit, when He wants us to start, who He wants us to give to. And if a pastor's not careful, he will allow influences to pressure him into doing things that God's not involved in. When I'm done with this sermon today, I don't go stand before a group of men and apologize for what I preach. Nobody looks over my sermon notes and says, well, that may go against, hurt somebody's feelings. I try to mind the Lord. Amen. And simply preach by the Spirit of God of where the Spirit is leading. Because this is the thing about it. If I give you a word from me, you leave empty. But if I could give you something from God, then it'd help you. You know, I've been really looking and searching my heart. I can't do nothing about your heart, just mine. And a preacher and people in leadership's got to be sure that their heart is right before they can ever think about helping others. I hear people say, well, I don't want to deal with the problems. Well, that's ministry. Ministry is solving problems. Ministry is dealing with problems. What I would do if I was a member here, to be sure I wasn't stirring up enough drama that's so stupid that your preacher's got to back off the Word of God and come deal with your stupid. And I don't like to use that. Children, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say this morning. Don't say that word. It's not. I know I'll not be saying it. I apologize. But I said it. I don't know other way to describe it. People's gone crazy. Now, as I begin to search and ask, Lord, where are we? Brother Jake's one of the oldest members here, a godly man. Daddy was an old mountain preacher. Brother Jake has seen things go on in this day and hour, and I know he shakes his head. So do I. So does most every one of us. But this is the thing about it. We've got a Bible that tells us not only where we are, but why we are. What happened in Dallas this week? Isn't that a shame? You know, we counted our officers in the church, as Brother Joe had prayed this morning. I think there's 5 or 6 active duty officers in our assembly. And as you're upstanding to protect me and my family, my children and my property, the last thing I need to do is be going against you. I need to support you. And I need to be praying for you and back you. We've raised a generation that knows nothing about authority. And this is one reason they don't know nothing about authority. Their mama and daddy don't respect authority. They hear you talk about the preacher. So they're trained to talk about the preacher. They hear you talk about your boss and people in authority. And by the way, the reason they make decisions is because you make them make decisions. This morning, out of Jeremiah chapter number 1, I want to preach a sermon out of Jeremiah 1, 2, and 3. And some of you are so cold in heart, you done flipped your eyes because I said three chapters. But stand with us this morning. I've come to preach today. I've not come to be a smart aleck. I want to say something right quick. When you're born a natural smart aleck, and I was, you got to work on being a smart aleck. Can any of y'all relate to that? The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom, watch this, the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah. In the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, to the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Now, that's why we should not murder our children by ways of abortion, because God's got a plan for every life. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, ordained thee a prophet to the nation. I wonder how many preachers America's killed. I wonder how many policemen America's killed. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. He said, Lord, I can't do this. But the Lord said to him, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. It don't matter a man's age, honey, long as he's got the Word of God, he's a-telling you right. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You not running things, I'm running things, is what God said. Now, this is something a preacher better get over in a hurry. Be not afraid of their faces. That's why I don't look at your face when I preach. I look up above you. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know what I found out? If I preach the Word of God, He's on my side. Then the Lord put forth His hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I've set this day to set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this time together in the house of God. You know my heart, my spirit. God, I pray you'd let preaching be easy. I pray that, God, you wouldn't let me say anything that would offend the Holy Ghost this morning. Help me in my life. Help these people you've given me to pastor. I love them and I thank you for them. God, they've been good to me. I want to thank you. But Lord, we need help from heaven today. I pray for our country, our nation. I pray for them families that are hurting so today, that's lost their loved ones. Touch our sick and afflicted. Do big things here that only you, our great God, can do.
In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. I want to preach out of verse number 10 this morning, out of Jeremiah 1, 2, and 3. And I want to preach on this thought. The Bible says, I've set thee this day over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. I want to preach on this thought this morning. It's time to throw down. It's time. It's time to throw down jealousy. We have no room for jealousy. So what if somebody gets up to sing and you don't? So what if somebody gets to preach and you don't? You may need to be hearing something they got to say, or you may be needing to hear something they got to sing. Animosity. Hatred. Time to throw down on some things. Hatred's killing our nations. It's killing our families. It's killing our churches. The devil will allow things to come in your life. Those that befriended you and loved you and that you were so close with and they fed you and clothed you. The devil will allow things to come in your life that will separate you from God. And it's time to throw down on things that take us away from God this morning. Standing for right is still right. Many of you and your family, you've had to stand against family, and that's not what I'm preaching about today. But it's a big difference when you see somebody and hatred arises in your heart. And as Cain killed Abel, you could take a gun and blow their brains out and think nothing about it. I can tell you hatred don't come from God, but it comes from the devil. The devil will allow things to come into our lives, our families, and our churches to divide and to destroy. We need to throw down on jealousy. We need to throw down on hatred. We need to throw down on backbiting. If some of you didn't have other people to talk about, you'd have nothing to talk about. So that lets me know you need to keep your mouth shut. Backbiting. Tattletelling. If you spend as much time looking at you as you do your neighbor, I bet you'd get some help. Time to throw down. Now I want to say this morning, by way of outline, you'll notice there was the prophet's call. I'm glad God still called some preachers. And I want to tell you, they still some men interested beside chicken and women in the day and hour that we live. Still interested in preaching. There's the call of the prophet. Verse 2, there's a sending word. The Bible said, to whom the word of the Lord came. I'm glad God still sends a word in this day and this hour. If there's ever been a time that you need to have your family and yourself under the sent word of God, it is today. Man will let you down. Preachers will let you down. School teachers will let you down. But honey, the word of God will always stand with you. The sending word. Verse 2, it was a sacred word. The Bible said, to whom the word of the Lord came. This ain't the word of Ken. It ain't the word of this one or that one. It's the word of the Lord. And when your man of God's preaching out of the word of God and he's in your Bible, you ought to respect that and you ought to teach your children to respect it. And you ought to go to the bathroom before church starts. I understand the situations. I'm getting older, but I do know how to plan for things. About time the preacher goes getting on your sin, it's potty break. The sacred word, the word of the Lord. He sent His Son to die for the word. It means something to God, the word of God. Wouldn't it be amazing if our leadership in America, has anybody seen a Bible in all this chaos? I hear opinions, but I ain't seen no Word of God opened up on CNN. It's a sacred word. Verse 3, it's a sobering word. Look when he sent it. He sent it to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth. The enemy had came in and taken over God's people. God has not saved us to be captive. He saved us to be victors. He saved us to be overcomers. And the only way that we can overcome sin, self, and the flesh is to mind the Word of God and put the Word of God back in our lives where it's supposed to be. It's a sobering word. It came. They were being carried away captive. It's a sharp word. He said in verse 10, He said, I sent it to you in order to root out. Watch them old roots of bitterness. Somebody done me wrong. Well, everybody here has been done wrong. Get over it. It don't take you long to live long. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Root out. And then to pull down. We need to pull down our high-mindedness. We need to pull down our wicked ways and our wicked mentality. We've got way too high on the hog and think we don't need God. But honey, God can remove everything you got by the sun comes up in the morning. Pull down. High-minded. Don't need God. You've arrived. Then he says this, to destroy. We deal with our sin. We go out and pray and we bury our sin and we leave his head sticking up out of the ground so we can come back by and feed him on Monday morning. Destroy some things. Get them out of our life and kill them. And he says to throw down. Some things you hold on to, you need to let go of. You need to let go. Somebody's done you wrong. You need to let go that things you thought had worked out hadn't worked out. You need to let it go and let God. Some of your marriages today are not where they need to be because you won't throw down some things. You need to let go. There's no perfect woman. There's no perfect man. There's one and he died on the cross for your sin and my sin. The devil loves you to hold on some things that you won't turn loose of. Some of you need to throw the liquor bottle down. Some of you need to throw the pornography down on the internet that's taken your life because one peek and it's consumed you. I'm scared to death of sin. I've noticed this. I've never been able to play with sin unless sin played me. Sin has no respect to a person. Young lady, young man, you play with sin, sin will soon play you. Throw down. You'll notice in this message as he gave him, it was a thing of destruction, but it was also a message of construction. He said, I want you to root out. The reason some of you don't like Holy Ghost preaching because it gets down where you're at and it gets on the root of things. And when it goes to pulling in your life, you don't like a preacher plowing. But honey, God's called a preacher not to be a politician or a puppet on a string. He's called him to be a preacher. I need things rooted out of my garden. You ever notice this? It amazes me. Go down to Tractor Supply, buy two gallons or so of Roundup, pay $50-something dollars. You spray it 1 week, and it goes to turning a little bit. You spray it the next week, and it looks dead. You come back 3 weeks, that same stinking patch doesn't grow it up greener than it's ever been. The reason, you know, I didn't get the root. That's the way it is. preacher, preach on your sin. It'll wilt you a little bit, but you don't let it go down to the root. And where there's root, it comes out. I love landscaping. I fix beds, walk off, and they're beautiful. Go preaching, come back 3 weeks, don't even look like I've been around the farm. You know why? Because roots is run down. Our problem was sin. We've taken this little religion of Roundup and this little advice of Roundup, but we haven't let the Holy Ghost dig down in our heart and get them roots of sin out that's bringing up things in our life that hurts me and hurts everybody else. Root up. Throw down. How you get over somebody's hurt you? You take it to the Lord. It'd do you good to try to talk through it with them. They won't hear you. Take it to the Lord. See, this is the problem with some of you. You're not happy with yourself, and therefore nobody around you will ever be happy either. Destruction, but it's also construction. He said it's time to throw down, to destroy, to root out, to pull down, but to build and to plant. There's ever been a church age where we need to be setting out good things for the cause of Christ. It is today. But we've got to root out things in order to plant. I've noticed this about sin in my life. I don't like preaching. Don't look at me that way. You don't either. I don't like church when I'm far away from God. And then I want to get to blame everybody else because of my circumstance. Well, so-and-so's going to be there, and they're a hypocrite. Well, if you're waiting for not a hypocrite to come to Liberty Baptist Church, you won't never be back. Matter of fact, the devil will make you look like a hypocrite, and you didn't even mean to be a hypocrite. I hear these boys in Promise Keeper. You remember about 10 years ago, the big Promise Keepers, big thing, sweeping Atlanta, Georgia. Come get in the Promise Keepers. I knowed I couldn't go there to start with because I can't keep all my promises. I promised my wife I'm going to do better. I don't. I promised my wife I'm going to work on my smart mouth, and it still flares up on me every now and then. I promised her and myself I'm going to try not to hurt her no more. And I find myself, just what Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I be Johnny, I find myself doing them. And if you'd look at yourself, you're the biggest hypocrite sitting in the building. You hate your neighbor, you talk about your neighbor, you talk about everybody, but you won't talk about yourself. You're the biggest hypocrite in Carroll County. You're going to look for a reason not to come to church. Well, it's too small. Ain't enough room. Now we've added on, now it's too big. The columns need to be redone. The carpet's too red. Honey, you can just pick stuff apart. It ain't the place, it's you! Well, our preacher ain't never here through the week. Let me ask y'all a question. You ever read your Bible and it says, do the work of an evangelist? You think whenever God called me to preach, He might give me a place to preach? You said you've got a place to preach. I preach here. That's why we have leadership involved in order to structure and carry on the ministry. One man can't do it all. Won't you just pray and let God use me in the ministry He's called me to be? Sound like to me you got preacher religion. Wednesday night, I come in here, went to teach class. Three teachers wasn't even here, didn't even check in with the director. I think we need revival. Some of you make so many excuses about not coming to church. It's too hot. It's too long. It's too far. You'll drive atop the river to eat. Well, I've been offended. You go back to Walmart and shop. You crazy. I despise to go to Walmart. Target put in them transgender bathrooms. I told my wife, don't spend another dime there. She said, you mean tell me I got to go to Walmart? I said, jump over them. I don't like going, but I got to go. They steal your parking spot. You ain't got a buggy. You grab their buggy. There's germs everywhere.
I'm not looking at your faces. I'm tired of looking at faces. I'm looking at facts. Why don't you just understand what this Bible's fixing? This amazing thing, what He's fixing to say right here. And I'm going to deal with it. I want you to look now. He says, verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, thou hast well seen of it, hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, what seest thou? I said, I see a seething pot. And the face toward is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one of his throne eating the gates of Jerusalem against the walls thereof. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise, speak unto them, and all that I may command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confess. Found thee before them. He said, let me tell you what, if you want to look at your people while you preach and look how bad and how ugly they get and how they're not taking your preaching, he said, I can't use you no more. You better quit looking at faces and preach what I give you. There's a call of the prophet. Number two, I want you to look at the cry of the preacher, Jeremiah 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. I was in a place the other night. Somebody said, they was talking about you, said, your preacher, he's loud, ain't he? It's about time a preacher get loud. You see what this Bible says? He says this, I want you to cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? He told that prophet that, and then he told one of the greatest prophets that God ever called. In Isaiah chapter number 58, you'll say, in verse 1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. How crazy would it be for a preacher not to preach and tell his people about sin? How crazy would it be for you to go to the doctor and you walk in and say, something's wrong with me? He said, well, pay me $50 for the visit, $25 for the copay, but you know what? I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with you. Well, didn't I come see you for something? Oh, I just got to sign up. I'm not really a doctor. That's about where our churches are in America. A lot of preachers got a title, but ain't no preach in them. And shouldn't America look at the pony rides and the yard sales? Shouldn't they look that the goldfish swallowing and the drama teams don't change lives, but Holy Ghost Bible preaching changes lives? There's a preacher everywhere in the country trying to go to marketing, going to the world, to do anything they can do to drive attendance in their building. I tell you what, help our attendance at Liberty Baptist Church if we get our heart right with God. Some of you miss church. I go home, look on Facebook, and you done fired at 11:20, a little goofy picture. And I say, well, they wasn't in the bed with the flu. Why ain't they at church? Oh, it's quiet, Jack. You say, I ain't coming back. You ain't been here a long time. No way. I've always heard this when people say this, and I've learned this about Pastor and Brother Randall. When they say, I'll be back, it means they done left and they ain't coming back no way. Holy Ghost showed me that the other day at my kitchen counter. Oh, I'll be back. Why'd you ever leave? Brother, we ain't going to be able to eat dinner today. Ain't going to be able to hold nothing. My guts is shot. I'll live so far. You can go to Walmart. Then you want to bust up in here and want to know why ain't nothing going on. If you'd come to church here, you'd know what's going on. We do what we want to do. Then blame it on others. The cry of the preacher is a loud cry. It was the Lord's cry. Verse 2 said, "Thus saith the Lord." What's the Lord say about where we are? Verse 2, watch this. Chapter 2, it's a love cry. He said, "I remember thee." He said, "The kindness of the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity of your fathers found in me, that they're gone far from me, have walked after vanity, and have become vain." This is what he said. He said, "What's your mom and daddy's found wrong with me? What have I done to you?" He said, "I've been for you. I loved you. I saved you." Can I go on and say something while I'm here, because I'm fixing to go on and get in and be done preaching? We come to our church. We start at 11. We ought to be here ready to go to church at 11 o'clock, not 11:15. You get to your job, you got to be there at 8 o'clock, 7:30 or 9. You wouldn't keep your job. Maybe you just want to come in late so everybody can see you. Reckon that's it? You got to be the center of attention. Is that it? You're upset right now because you're not doing something. Because I done seen you won't be the center of attention. I ain't going to let you do it. You say you got a big old building going to be empty. Well, I can tell you one thing. If God will be here, it'll be small. And we got to have God here. And I want to tell you something. I'm glad you're here. I'm not here to run nobody off this morning. I'm just telling you where we live at. I don't want you to leave. Because you know why I don't want you to leave? When you go here, you're going to go sit down on your hide at home and your young'un's going to die and go to hell. That's why I don't want you to leave. I can name you five families right now. When stupid happens, others leave. You know where they at? Sitting at home. You know where they're at? At home. Young'un's going to hell. I'd be careful to let somebody get me out of a Bible preaching church. I'd be careful. Matter of fact, if the devil wasn't trying to get you out of here, you can be sure you don't belong here. The devil fought me the whole morning this morning about getting here. Me and my wife. No, we ain't fussing and fighting. We hurting to the bone. We burdened about our church. These little young'uns come giving their bucket. Can I ask you something? When this generation out here is gone, where are they going to church? They going to come hear a woman in a dress, dressed up, reading something out of Sears and Roebuck magazine? King James Bible is nearly extinct in our country. But we got to set standard. I'm willing to do it. Are you?
Yes, sir.
This is what happened. This amazing thing. The cry of the preacher. Now, look at the conduct of the people. Look what they were doing. Jeremiah 2, verse number 11. "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people changed their glory for that which doeth not profit? Be astonished, O ye heavens." You know what he said? You ought to get upset. Somebody ought to be blushing. Now, I want to show you the first time it's used in Jeremiah. I found it reading in my devotions this week. I want you to learn, turn to Jeremiah 6, verse 15. I want you to look at something right here, underline it in your Bible. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, that time that I visit them that shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein, ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with church? We don't blush no more. The things you let your children wear and the things you wear ought to make your husband blush. And some of you so religious, you wear your dress to the ground, you think you got everything covered, and you wicked as the devil on the inside. Homosexuality used to be in the closet. Things that would make people blush when I went to school. Now they're parading rainbow flags up and down the streets of America, burning our flags and pushing their sin on our children and our grandchildren. And homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of our God. He said, you're abominations. You ought to be blushed and you ought to be astonished. We're not astonished no more. And the reason we've let ourselves come off the rock, we have moved. Things that used to embarrass us and make us blush don't make us blush no more. I love what Brother Mike said. I love it. Classic Facebook. And I got a Facebook. I enjoy it. I love what Brother Mike said. I love it. And I'm going to preach it. And I know he hates I'm going to say it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm for Brother Mike. And I love it. And I want to say this statement. A light went on me. I said, Brother Mike, you ought to get you a Facebook. He said, preacher. He said, I don't want to get no Facebook. I don't want to show everybody how crazy I am. You know, things used to blush. It's called sin. Now, watch what they've done. I want to show you that nugget. Be astonished, all you have. I'm Jeremiah 2 now. Now look, here it is, verse 13. Here's the meat of this message. For my people have committed two evils. And I want to read something. I want you to just let this go in your heart just a minute. Because I know I made a bunch of you mad, but I don't know why you're mad at me. I didn't write this Bible. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And this is what I want to say right here. First of all, there's the sin of forsaking. And a writer gave me this truth, and I noticed where I've got out of bounds with God. It's so true, and I want you to listen to me. Forsaking God is the foundation of all other sins. Every sin you've got is because they rest upon one foundation. You have forsook God. Now listen to this and how true this is and how this speaks volumes to my heart. Let me tell you something. I've had a bad past. I'm not proud of that. But God has allowed me to preach a message to let other people know that I've had a bad past. There's still hope with God. But this is what I've learned. And you listen to me right here. And I pinned it down because I want every member of this church to hear it this morning. Forsaking God is the foundation of all other sins. But this sin leads to another. We're not content when we forsake God that our hearts should contain a mere blank. We seek to fill up the void which His absence has made and to find satisfaction in other objects. Having forsaken God, we choose ourselves idols. See, God created you to worship Him. A man will always find something to worship. And if God is not in that void in your heart, then you go to idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything that's between you and your God. Listen to me, that farm I've got over yonder could become an idol. That's how much I think of it. I get therapy there. I go there. I enjoy working hard. I appreciate what God has given me, but I don't do it on Sunday.
Wednesday night, I know it's time. I've got to go to church. You know why? I need it.
I want to say something about this sister and I'm done preaching. The Bible said, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, cisterns, look, that can hold no water." My daddy had a saying in Tennessee, "Boy, that ain't gonna hold water." You ever heard that? You come tell him something, "That don't hold water." "That don't hold water." I plugged in last night on my iPhone an Eastern cistern. Some of you young people, I'm about done preaching. Give me 10 minutes, I'm done preaching. This is a cistern. Some were dug. He said you'd hewed out cisterns. You'd hewed out things of pleasures in your life to try to satisfy an empty heart. You have forsaken the fountain of living water and you've hewed you out cisterns that hold no water. Now I looked. Some were high. Some were built up on stilts. And this is what happened. Some cisterns as big as this building, but there's a problem. There's no inflow or outflow. It's stagnant water. We got an old word in the country called stench. It starts to stink. It ain't nothing smells no worse than bad water. Smell like rotten eggs. We had old sulfur water in the country, Brother Joe. I'd get them little boys from school come home with me from town. They'd never been around no country water. I'd give them a glass of that water. They'd say, "Whoo! This got eggs in it." This is what God said. He said, "You've forsaken me, and the reason that you have other sins, because you've got the main foundation of sin in your life, you've forsaken me, now all other sins are built on that one sin. You forsook me. And you've hoed you out cisterns that hold no water." You know what I've been studying? You know the most wise man in our Bible was Solomon. Did you know that he went and turned and beheld strange wives and lost everything he had? How could a wise man become so ignorant? How could many of you, as blessed as you are, what God has given you, the children you've got, the home you've got, the job you've got, the family you've got, and the church, how can you turn your back on God now? I heard Brother Marlin. He's one of the few men that ever amen me anymore. "Brother Marlin, I love you. You've got two boys that I thank the world of. You know what's kept your boys alive? The grace of God." "Brother Randall, you know when me and you was back there acting crazy, it wasn't by luck me and you got out of that. It's the grace of God was good to me and you and protected me and you. It ain't no time for us to turn our back on God now." Cisterns and fountain of living water, and I'm done. Give invitation. Big difference in cistern. Big old dugout place that's holding stinky water. God sold some of you the business life. Forsake God and go the world. But it's stinking on you, ain't it? The devil's convinced some of you to get away from God, forsake His ways, His book, His love, His guidance, His preacher. Now you done build you up something around you and it ain't smelling real good. You know, it amazes me how a swimming pool can be so clear today and look like the jungle in a week. If any of y'all want to build a swimming pool, I wish the Lord to heaven you'd come dig mine up. You see,
Big difference in a fountain and a cistern. Exchanging of a fountain to a cistern. A cistern water is borrowed. A fountain is from itself. I'm glad from the eternal world, nobody has to supply our God, for He's an ever unending supply. Cistern water. It only has a certain measure, but not a fountain. It's unmeasurable. But Tim, we'll never know the blessings of God, for they are unmeasured. We'll never know the truths of God, for they are unmeasured. We'll never know the love of God, because it's unmeasured. Cistern water is stagnant. The fountain is clear and pure. The cistern is soon dried up. The fountain of God is ever flowing. The cistern is hewed out, made by self. But the fountain is by grace, and by grace alone. You ever notice this? Some people that work for that cistern, you've worked your fingers to the bone. You're trying to do this. You walked off and left God, said, "I'll do it my way. Lord, I really don't need You no more. Thank You for what You've done for me, but I'm supposed to go my way. I'm going to the world. I'm going to the idols." And what you're doing, you're digging you a handmade cistern. It's going to be a stinking on you before this life is over. But honey, there's a fountain flowing this morning that never runs dry. I thank God, Brother Gerald, how He blessed me in the world of the corporate world at Pepsi Cola. Started on a route and went to the top. When I got up there, I was the loneliest man in the world. Went long, a man stole over half of what I got. I soon found out that cistern I was a poking fool had holes in it. But honey, I got something running on me on the inside this morning that this world cannot get. I'm glad it's a water of life springing up to life everlasting. I chose the fountain over the cistern. I say, kick our cisterns over this morning and grab a hold of the fountain of life and get saved and get renewed by the good grace of God. We run to things. Make a cistern. I run to me to a car cistern one time. Built me a collector car. About time I thought I'd have the money to finish it, I went over there and you'd had to put it in a tractor trailer to bring it home. It's half done. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know, I'm crazy. If I could just get that car built, you know, I'd be happy." You know what I done? Brother Mike knows the truth. I found myself for 3 miserable years when that man had stolen everything I got, begging God, "Oh, would You sell my idol? I'm sorry. God, I put too much interest in it. I've been crazy. Please sell it and help me." Ain't it amazing the things that we put our happiness and our content in, except for the Lord, He'll be sure that it all goes dry. Amen. I can tell you this, anything that you're building on except the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be stinking. This year it come. Church, watch this cistern access. You have to step high to get over in it. Not the fountain, Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, to get in the fountain, you got to bend down low and drink from an ever-ending supply. This week, I want to ask you something. I'll give you a Bible, now I'm going to give you my heart. There's probably not a better church in the county than this church. If you go by and you look at the people in this church, you won't find any better people in this country. But you know what our problem is? We've allowed God to get on the back burner. And we put us on the front burner, and now we're in a mess. We forsook the Lord. We need revival in our church. I need revival in my heart. Church ought to be a time we can come worship Him in spirit and the truth, and we've got to keep it God's house. I've heard Brother David say this when he walked in, I got to worship today. You see what some of you don't know? If we don't have worship service where people here can give their heart to God and get help, they can't make it through the week. Miss Terry and Brother Michael is one of the greatest singers I've ever heard, and I've heard a pile of them. You know what's so special about it? When they get up here and Miss Terry just throw a little hand up and say, it does my heart good to see somebody that's focusing on Him instead of them. Let me ask you something. Do you need an invitation to get you to move this morning? Do you need a woman to play on the piano and try to get your heart tender? I wonder if the Word of God done anything to you this morning. What you need, our altar's open today.